3 a.m. 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and Commissioner Lumen May, District 3, that's the very center of Escambia County, joins us by phone now. Commissioner, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you.
Hey, so I've been wanting to have you on for a little while now because, we talked to all the commissioners, but I hadn't talked to you in a little while, especially since Sally. And I just wanted to, even though I live in your district, I know your district represents a lot of people besides just me. How was District 3 affected by the storm, and how is District 3 doing now during recovery?
Well, it's tough. I mean, like everybody else, I mean, we've all had to face some challenges, Andrew. I mean, obviously, we're in the middle of a pandemic, and we're already having challenges that many other citizens in District 3 were facing. So, I mean, obviously, there's a lot of damage. There's a lot of problems that were already existing, and this just exacerbated. But we're recovering. I mean, I think we're a resilient district, we're a resilient community, and we'll be fine.
You know, as yeah. Seems to be the theme that when we're talking. Oh, sorry, go ahead. Go ahead. You're going to continue?
No.
The thing that I keep thinking about is how we were already struggling, as you said, with the pandemic, and people who had lost jobs or lost income, and they're having to deal with childcare, or they're having to deal with having their kids not being at school. I mean, all the things that are going on surrounding that, and then this happened in addition. Is that kind of the way you're seeing it in your district, that it's just this extra thing on top of what we're already seeing?
Absolutely, and I've said it often that our community has always been able to adapt to a hurricane. And we've always been prepared. And we do a lot of preparation and planning, knowing that it's not if a hurricane will hit Escambia County, it's just when it's going to hit. But the unique thing about this Hurricane Sally is that we've never had to endure a hurricane during a pandemic. And so there are already challenges that were being faced during the pandemic, and then along came a hurricane. And so no one, I think, could have prepared fully for a hurricane throughout a pandemic. And so as we move forward with recovery, we have to move forward not only recovering from a hurricane, but recovering from a pandemic. And so there are uncertainties that are in the minds and the hearts of the people of not only District 3, but all of Escambia County. And so we know that we're going to be stronger after this is over, but we're going through the storm. And so we're not out of the woods of a pandemic. People are wondering how can they get the roof fixed, how are they going to be able to pay their utility bills, how will they be able to pay their rent and their mortgages. So I think that there's still some difficult days ahead. I think that we will be able to recover. I think that there are going to have to be, some challenges that are an obstacle that we're going to have to overcome. But together we will overcome.
And, we're still working on getting that individual assistance declaration from FEMA. Santa Rosa, good news, Santa Rosa got their public assistance declaration for categories A through G yesterday. So hopefully there might be progress still to be made on the IA side, especially for, which of course is a primary benefit to the people who are at the lowest end of the socioeconomic spectrum. One of the other things that came up, and it's related, of course, to Sally, was the flooding in some of the public housing projects like at Forest Creek Apartments. I know that's not in your district, but you're very involved in that. Of course, it's Commissioner Underhill's district. The question that I had is, as we move forward with the plan, the hope that hopefully we can, relocate people out of there, and also the loss of housing to areas that flooded, we already had a big shortage of affordable housing before this happened. Where are those folks going to go if there aren't, there aren't just more buildings for them to move into, right?
And that's the challenge, and one of the reasons that I was supportive of Brownsville Manor. The first, major project in Brownsville in the last 50 years, $16 million affordable senior living. The reason I supported the Duff and Downs project and on Cervantes in conjunction with Dual Canada Wind, because there has been a shortage of not only affordable housing, but workforce housing. When we say affordable, I mean, that term could be used in many different ways, but workforce housing,
yeah,
meaning people who are making $10, $11, $12 an hour, which is a large portion of the workforce of Escambia County, whether someone is working on Pensacola Beach in a restaurant, or whether someone is driving a school bus, or whether someone is doing custodial services. These are great citizens that get up and work 40 hours a week, and many of them work 40 hours a week on one job and 40 hours a week, you know, on another job just to make ends meet and still to find that that's not enough to find a place to live. And so as we align our economic development strategies, as we align our educational attainment strategies, there has to be a robust housing program as well. And I look at that as economic stability for our community. If that's the number one priority of the hierarchy, is food and shelter. And so we have to make sure that citizens have an opportunity to find places to live, because if not, that still becomes a burden on our taxpayers, because we have to find some services for them. And so that's going to be important. That's one of the reasons I initiated the infill housing program, and that we're starting in District 3 to do not only affordable apartments, but to do infill housing through SHIP programs and through some subsidies that we're going to be able to provide. We have to find that. Unfortunately, a person making $12 an hour or $10 an hour cannot afford $250,000, $300,000 house. I mean, it's just impossible. So we have to make sure that, you know, we don't take our eyes off of our housing needs throughout this pandemic and throughout this hurricane. I mean, because there's the same results that we got in the 2014 flood. We got to have more housing. We got to address flooding.
Right.
And related to Forest Creek, I mean, the definition of insanity is to do the same thing, expecting different results. It has systemically flooded in that housing program, and that's Commissioner Underhill's district, and I've been very supportive, one, in taking FEMA dollars to purchase it, two, in trying to relocate those residents.
Right.
Because not only for the safety of those residents, but for the good of this community, because every time there's a rain, we have to deploy a major asset in terms of trying to assist, which in the end costs everyone dollars.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why, you know, it's one thing to favor getting them out of a terrible situation, but we got to have a situation that's better than that to get them into. Commissioner May, District 3, Escambia County, thank you so much for the time. And by the way, I know you probably haven't gotten a lot of at least public acknowledgement for this, but I know you were very instrumental in bringing the new lights over onto Burgess and U.S. Old Palafox and all that whole area. They're great. It was a dark area. I live in that area. It's very nice to have those lights there. They were damaged by the storm, but they're all back up and working now. So thank you for bringing more lighting to our area anyway. Commissioner May, thank you for the time this morning.
Thank you, Andrew, and thank our staff for being able to turn that into a CRA, which allows for us to be able to spend those dollars in the Oakville area. So thank you so much.